Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Bonjour, bienvenue al spectacle. I completely messed that up. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Friday, May 3rd, and we are here to talk about WWE SmackDown that took place in, Lyon, France, right before Backlash. And of course, Denise Salcedo here, but I'm joined by Robin Lundberg. Robin, what's up?
Apparently, I'm supposed to say baguette at this point. But, you know, like, Denise, you did pretty good. You undersold yourself.
I choked, Robin.
Yeah, you talked yourself out of it at the end. And then I think you said the word, like, spectacle as English as you could. Like, you had the whole bonjour. It was all rolling. And you were like, spectacle.
I lost it at the end. I was like, what's the last part? I was like, spectacle. Well, you know, I was struggling because, so I Googled, like, how to say welcome to the show, right? And it's bienvenue. Spectacle, right? But I can't say spectacle without making it either sound English or if not making it sound Spanish. It comes out either English or Spanish. It does not come out French.
I got you. Can I help you get your confidence back?
Wait, do you speak French?
Oh, I not at all. I was just going to ask you to say Andrade.
Andrade.
Yeah.
That's it. My confidence is back. You know what? I already learned two languages. That's enough for me. I hit the max. My brain was like, nah, bro, you can't do three.
Yeah, two is good. I mean, if you're fluent too, that's pretty good. I'm very strong in English and yo hablo español un poco.
See, but your Spanish is better than my French. Mm. Although I can speak like one sentence of Italian, once I say like a couple Greek words here and there from my Duolingo days, but then I just forget everything. So that's it. I could either do English or Spanish, and that's about all that's going to happen. But Robin, of course, we're talking about French and all of that because we are, I don't know, feeling French because of the show. I don't know. Robin, when I was watching today's show, first of all, can I just say the crowd was super lit, but I felt so American. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know any of the chants. They all sounded so great. I felt like I was left out, missing out on the action.
Yeah, you're trying to pick up on it and figure out what they're saying, you know. But, you know, I've picked up on a lot of stuff this week, like Toronto slang crody, apparently, is what you say, with all the Kendrick and Drake back and forth. So I'm picking up stuff as I go here. Here's the thing about that crowd, though, Denise. They carried. The crowd carried the show, and I am now more enthusiastic about the Backlash card because I know it's going to be in front of that crowd. These international crowds are golden, especially for these in-between PLEs where you're not talking about WrestleMania, you're not talking about the Rumble or SummerSlam or any of that. It's like Backlash, you got this filler main event, if we're being real, between AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes. But then you hear how bon lit the crowd is out there, and it's out of control. And you know, just like the Puerto Rican crowd did with Bad Bunny, it was sick. And all of these international crowds, because we're spoiled. We're spoiled that they're always around, they're always touring, and these feel like unique events. So they're going to harness all that energy, and they're going to bring it out, and that's going to lift this entire card. Where I think if we're all being honest, the big fans, obviously, nobody was sitting there circling that date on the map. And now you get a little bit of pep in your step.
Yeah, honestly, though, I do feel that, especially for the Cody Rhodes AJ Styles match. And we'll talk about the closing segment, but I get what you're saying, where you're a little bit more excited, one, because of a little bit of what they did on the show today, and then also because of the crowd itself. And it's funny because you mentioned, you know, the Puerto Rico crowd, all of these international crowds. I remember last year, Clash at the Castle, like that just looked absolutely insane. So I've been wanting to go to some of these shows because it's totally different, right? When you are here going to the shows in the States, like some cities are really great, some cities not so great. I've been in great crowds, I've been in bad crowds. All this to say, I have honestly wanted to experience like an overseas crowd. I've only gotten to experience London AW All In, which was really, really cool. And then this doesn't obviously count as overseas because this was on in North America, but I got to do Canada and Mexico shows, which was very fun too. But I want to do more of the overseas shows. So today I actually booked my flight, Robin, to Scotland to go to Glasgow for Clash at the Castle. And it was a whole freaking thing that I was like tweeting about because they were telling me that flights were like $933, right? To come and go and everything. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of the price that I was expecting for this. So I go on the page, I confirmed the price, $933, great. And I'm about to input my info in the next page. And Robin, it skyrocketed to $4,113. And I was like, and a little banner came out that said, oh, there's all of these, you know, the prices exceeded expectations. I don't even know what the hell it said. But I was like, oh, you're freaking crazy. Like, I am not going to pay that price. So thankfully to all the people that are smarter than me on the internet, they were like, go incognito, clear your browser history. So wow. I do all of that, go incognito. And finally, it took me back to the normal price that I was originally planning on paying. But I nearly passed out. Imagine, Robin, had I been trigger happy and just like kept pressing confirm, confirm, confirm. Like, what the hell?
Well, I mean, first of all, that is persistence. I got to get, because when I saw I wouldn't have expected it to go back down. The workaround, shout out to it's the DWO, right? Shout out to them if they helped you out there. And as far as the other thing, you caught me off guard at the beginning. You were like, yeah, I went online, I booked my flight. I thought you were about to say you were going to Backlash.
No, I was going to go to Backlash, but I don't think they did any media for it. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go to Backlash because you guys are not doing any media for it. And I don't know if they're doing media for Money in the Bank because 4th of July is literally like right before. So the pay-per-view is what, like on a Saturday, and they usually do media day Friday. And then 4th of July is that Thursday. So I don't know if they're going to do a media day that day. So I was like, screw it, I'm going to go to Scotland because I've never been to Scotland. So I might as well do it for fun and then also work.
Yeah, I mean, and that gives you like, that must be such a unique experience because not only do you get to be immersed in another culture and do what you do had you just been traveling, but there's nothing like a pro wrestling crowd, right? Like, and you feel that vibe, you feel that energy. I was just in Philly for WrestleMania, but you know, I lived in New York for a long time. I live in Jersey now. I lived near Philly at one point in my life as well. So not exactly like I was going beyond my comfort zone to go to Philly, but you just know like each experience is different. Each one is unique. And then you flip that to being in a place where you're not familiar with and you're going along with the customs and you're being immersed into that. That has to be one of those things that, you know, it's a memory.
No, it is. And like before this, like wrestling stuff took off for me, I was actually trying to make it as a travel blogger. Not many people know that, but like I had my little blog because like travel was always such a big passion of mine. So now to get to like do that with wrestling, it just kind of worked itself out. But we got to get into this show. We got a couple of super chats. So let's go. First and foremost, shout out to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. Sheldon, thank you so freaking much. We got Steven in the house here who says, with Jade having to calm Bianca down about damage control, could this be a seed being sown for Bianca to turn on Jade for a heel turn in the future? I feel like it's too early. It's too early, right, Robin?
Oh, it's way too early. Now, eventually that is 100% happening, a mega powers collide sort of situation, and it will be amazing. But it loses all its impact if you do it right now. We're right at the beginning of this formation of this dominant tag team that is just unique in presence and physicality and everything and magnitude. So I don't want to see that dissipate. You have to play the long game with a story like that. You have to plant the seeds and then watch it slowly sprout over time before you do that. Right now, I want to see Bianca and Jade dominate. I want to see them go out and do their EST stuff all over everybody on the MAT. So that's what I'm looking forward to with those two.
Yeah, and it's funny because I know that everybody's mind went exactly where Stevens went with this, because you're seeing them sort of, they're not really arguing, but after their match, there's like this locker room situation where Bianca is clearly, as we know, not been seen eye to eye with Bayley because of their history. And I've always loved that, Robin. I love that Bianca did not forget all of the shit that Damage Control did to her, all of the feuds and matches that she had with Bayley. I don't want her to forget that stuff. Like, this is stuff we invested a lot of time in. So when she doesn't completely disregard that, I love that. And Jade, it's funny because Jade, at first she was like watching Bianca go off and she had like this giant smile on her face and Bianca was like super pissed. And then Jade kind of like realizes it and starts calming her down. And again, I feel like it was just, I'm afraid because I don't want that to play into the match tomorrow at Backlash, because I don't want them to lose that Backlash.
Yeah, I think they're going to win. I mean, what's the point of putting them together if they don't do that? Unless, you know, he could be right, I suppose. But it flies in the face of everything we've seen with their booking. And like you mentioned, the long-term storytelling, because that gives credibility to what you've done before when you give it gravity and pay heed to it going forward. So I think there's no way that they blow it up that prematurely. And I think they're going to go there and put on a show. I mean, you heard that crowd. They're hot for Jade. I get there's the discourse on the internet about Jade and how much she's going to do and, you know, how much training she had and her AEW career versus her WWE career and how many moves she puts on. But she's Jade Stargill. I mean, she has that power that cannot be ignored and you cannot teach. And you just felt it and you feel it every time she comes out.
Are people calling her Jade Stargill?
No, I just did.
Oh, you just did? I was like, is that a thing? I was like, well, I haven't seen this on the internet. You need to like brand that and start the hashtag and maybe tag her in and see if she likes it. You never know. All of a sudden, she puts it on a t-shirt. Yeah. Robin, you got to go in there and get 10%.
Should I do her pin pose while I say it?
Might as well. Might as well. Oh my God. So might as well get into that, because we did have the 8-woman tag, which was Damage Control teaming up with Tiffany Stratton versus Bianca, Jade, Bayley, and Naomi. And since we're on the topic of Bianca and Jade, there was two things that I noticed in particular in this match. One, actually, there was three things. One, this time Jade didn't get the win and like the pin herself. She won the match still, of course, but she was not the one to actually get the pin. So I think this was like the first time they've done that, if I remember correctly. Usually she's always the one to get the win. The other thing that I noticed is we're finally seeing some actual teamwork, some tag team moves between Bianca and Jade. And then the other thing is they're starting, and they've been doing this now for a couple of weeks, but I hadn't mentioned it, is they really are starting to dress together like a tag team. And I'm wondering though, because we know that Bianca, she does all of her gear, like she sews it and she makes it and all of that. And I remember at WrestleMania, she had mentioned that she had done all three girls' gear. And I'm thinking, girl, are you doing like all of their, like, are you doing Jade's gear now too? And I don't know if she is or if she isn't, but I'm thinking to myself, like, she is so busy. If she's taking on both her gear and now Jade's gear too, like, that's just nuts.
That's, it takes up all your downtime to be a seamstress like that. I mean, I don't know the arts of being a seamstress, but I'm imagining it's very meticulous work. It
seems very... If not, we'd all be doing it. We wouldn't be out there buying our clothes. We'd be all making our clothes.
Yeah. I mean, my ball of yarn is missing right now.
Robin, I just realized since we're talking about clothes, you and I are wearing the exact same thing today.
I was going to mention it earlier, but then I don't, you know, I don't know how crazy an occurrence wearing a black t-shirt is. Like, you know, this.
I literally just realized it. I was like, shit, that's my shirt.
I mean, I wear black t-shirts a lot, to be honest with you. It's slimming, you know, it stays clean. It looks good. So, you know, you show up in a black t-shirt, you got a 70% chance of matching with me.
That's too funny. All right, I'm going to keep that on top of my head now. But there you go. Since we're out here talking about fashion, I made my shirt. I made Robin's shirt. I'm out here being talented like Bianca. This is great. We got Brandon here who says, damn, my French, what in the world did that crowd keep chanting? Okay, so you know when AJ was saying that he was phenomenal? Mm-hmm. In my head, I like to pretend that the French people were chanting phenomenal in French, although I don't think that's what they were saying.
I think it might have been a little ruder than that, perhaps. I remember the other, what was the crowd saying Roman's a wanker and all that stuff and some of these other.
Oh, that was probably a Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, you get some of these soccer kind of crowds, right? Like that's what it reminds me of, a soccer kind of crowd with that international festivity and each country has its own lingo and its own style of delivery. And I think they were heckling AJ Styles in that fashion because he was not happy with, you know, but he got what chance at everything too, right? So AJ was hearing it from that crowd, but in a good way. Like you could feel that vibe and that energy. It's none of it is animosity. It's all appreciation. It's all appreciation of the product being put in front of them.
Yeah, it's really fun to see. We got Kevin Zwicker here who says, sup guys, the crowd literally erupted for everything. And that's what we were waiting for, right? Like that's the intrigue that we have in these international crowds is you want to see them be loud and you want to see them be rowdy. Makes us look very boring, but hell, they look great. We got Andrew Cool here who says, do you see the Wyatt Six showing up tomorrow? Well, a lot of people have been talking about how this Backlash show seems very predictable, right? So they are going to have to find ways to, you know, make some surprises. We all know that we've been seeing the glitches, the QR codes. I don't know what the latest is on what came out. Okay, yeah. What's been going on with the QR codes?
So I thought my son is obsessed with the QR codes.
That's right, yeah.
And so he had me capture it, and it took you to almost a promo package, and it said, don't blink, because you could miss something, which seemed to me to be a reference to the QR code you just clicked on, and it said, you know, from France, you've got Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles in the main event, plus, and then it glitched out and did a whole bunch of creepy stuff and alluded to the fact that Uncle Howdy, at least, I think, and whatever his thing is going to be, should happen at Backlash in France.
Okay, all right. That's good. I missed that completely because I already know that when they do the QR codes, I'm never ready. And I can't rewind on Fox Sports. So I just count on the good people of social media to tell me. So, dude, that's freaking great to know because everybody's been wondering what this, you know, iteration of that's going to look like because now it's going to be a tribute to Bray by continuing his, you know, what he brought to the table was his creative vision and all of that. And we never got to see it completely unfold. And so now it's almost like they're continuing his legacy by telling their version of his story, I guess.
And when the lights go out and all the lights come on, all the cell lights and, you know, the lanterns, if you will, that always pays homage. I mean, they did that at Philly. Obviously, you were there too, where I think they were just promoting the documentary. Or something to that effect. And everybody did it there. So I think that there's a signal that WWE can send that would register with the crowd immediately to do that. And that will always be just like at a concert, you know, your lighter's in the air for that moment for Bray Wyatt and his legacy. But I do think of tonight's events on SmackDown, that was actually one of the two most impactful things. The QR code basically telling us that's coming tomorrow. And the other thing for me, was what Paul Heyman revealed.
Yeah, and I don't even know what to expect in terms of like what to expect from what they're going to do now with Uncle Howdy, because I can imagine that it's going to be different. I don't know how different, but I really don't know what to expect. So for me, it's more so of just like, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to enjoy the ride and see what they come up with and see how they continue to tell this story.
Well, you know, it was always intriguing, and I think they'll stick to the main beats of that. I think the wise move here was they waited, right? Because if you had tried to do this so suddenly or quickly after Bray Wyatt's death, it looks like you're kind of trying to capitalize on it. Like you're trying to you know, everybody, of course, had feelings about it and felt a certain way. But if you immediately come out with this, it's almost like you're trying to capture off that hype. In this instance, you let it simmer. You let him have and his family and everybody have that time. And then you bring back, because it is, in a way, a tribute, the notes that he was starting to slowly introduce. Because the introduction of this character is similar to the introduction of Bray Wyatt upon his last return.
Plus the documentary. I think they've done really good by honoring his legacy and again continuing to tell this story now in a totally different way. So I think a lot of people are going to be very excited to see how they come about that. Thank you so much to Indra Cool. We got Heidi Ho here who says, when was the last time we had a show with the perfect balance of in-ring wrestling, sports entertainment, and a super hot crowd? Fantastic SmackDown. It's a good time to be a wrestling. We did have a lot of that stuff. You know, we had how many matches? At least we had, let me see, it was 1, 2, 3, 4 matches. We had like a couple of backstage segments, maybe like 3. And then we had the Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles face-to-face. We had the RKO show, which was another thing. And yeah, we did have a pretty decent balance of, like Heidi Ho here said, sports entertainment.
And you get to see some guys get a little bit of a showcase, a little extra. Your boy, Tyler Bate, you know, he had another strong performance, I thought, in that tag match where he really got to do his thing. And maybe not in the forum elsewhere. But these sort of shows lend themselves to it. You know, generally, when you think of going into a big event, you're thinking, oh, you got to up the ante, you got to do all that. But it generally doesn't happen on the go-home show for SmackDown because you're so close at that point and you've already done all the big reveals and all the big builds and all the angles that are going to hit you across the face. They're kind of just like the pregame shows for the actual shows there. And that's where wrestling matches are going to come into play because you put some good, entertaining wrestling matches on. There's no way anybody could say, oh, it was a bad show, right? Like, it may not be the show that you remember or the show that's etched in history, but it's also not the one that you're like, what's going on here?
You just remember the crowd. Honestly, yeah. You just remember the crowd. That's really what it is. We got Sven Big here who says, I like the little callback to Bullet Club at the end, but by Cody getting smacked. Happy Bullet Club Day. So let's go ahead and jump into that because, dang, I hope, by the way, that someone sends me the gif of that because that was hilarious. But let's get into this. So we had the Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles face-to-face here today, and this was honestly their best exchange that they've had because it was very, very simple. You have AJ Styles basically telling Cody that, because Cody was trying to sort of bring up a lot of their similarities, right? He was trying to sort of see eye to eye with him and even kind of mention, looking up to him. And AJ sort of took that as an insult. He was sort of offended by that, like if he was calling him old. And I thought that was hilarious because I'm like, yeah, you know, he kind of is, right? Because he was watching him. And you know how it is when people tell you, oh, I was watching you as a kid. Well, you're making me feel old. And so I loved AJ's response to that. But basically, AJ's telling him, like, you had this path carved out for you because you were Dusty's kid. Everybody rolled out the red carpet for you. But for me, I wasn't even allowed in WWE all these years. And when I came in, I wasn't welcome with open arms. And I love that he said that because I remember, Robin, all of the years that people would be like, well, when is AJ going to WWE? When is AJ going? And all of the rumors of who said what about AJ and all of the reasons why he wasn't in the company. And then he finally gets there and, you know, the rest is history. But I really loved this. I really thought they did a good job of building this up. And then the final moment with them doing the two sweet and freaking AJ fooling him and slapping him across the face was gold, man. I loved that.
Well, you also have to remember these two guys have history in other companies and in other pathways. And in that way, they're appealing to that counterculture crowd, the punk rock crowd who has followed, you know, who's Bullet Club or Japan and everything. But AJ Styles has been around the block. I mean, I think we talked about it on this show last week. There was like a reference, a statistic 21 years ago at this match, which shows you and dates it a little bit. It's amazing he's still going at that level. I do have a future stipulation for Cody Rhodes, though. Have a feud without mentioning Dusty challenge. Like, at some point,
it's been going on. People have brought that up on social media, that on anything that's Cody related, that there hasn't been one promo where Dusty hasn't been brought up. And I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, like, I don't mind it because it's who he is. But I do know a lot of people have been bringing that up.
But, you know, Cody also obviously always, he always pays his respects. I mean, I think he did it in an interview this week talking about AEW and saying how he'll always root for AEW. And obviously, you know, AJ being as well traveled as he is. So I think these are the kind of guys that, you know, in a different day and age, let's say, wrestling fans wouldn't have thought that AJ Styles would ever get elevated to the level that he actually achieved in WWE. And obviously, in a different day and age, Cody Rhodes was not the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. he was, you know, stardust and dashing and all those things. And they had to almost ride that groundswell of support that, that you got from the, you know, that faction of the wrestling fans. And that's always carried over. And you saw that energy and you saw that acknowledged between those two guys. So I think it's that acknowledgement that makes all the people who have followed their journey go, yeah, okay, I'm locked in now.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I think they really did a good job of, again, just making this a little bit more interesting, because people want to be interested in this pay-per-view. People want to be interested in Cody and AJ. And I feel like they did the best job that they could here today. And again, him slapping him, oh, that was the cherry on top for me. That was the cherry on top. But I really, really dug what they did here today. We got John Black here who says, what roles could John Cena and Charlotte play in Backlash? So in regards to John Cena, I know that he has been spotted over already in France.
Is that even possible?
I don't know. Apparently a fan took a picture with him and it was all over social media, went viral. It's like, oh, John Cena's in France. And I'm like,
I did not know he could show up on visual, you know, mediums.
I don't know. Photography. It's advanced. But how the hell? Where does John Cena fit into all of this?
Ambassador of WWE. I mean, remember he did this before.
I think it was London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these people haven't seen John Cena go out and do his thing. So I think it's probably, I wouldn't overthink it, going to be as simple as that. The music's going to hit. They're going to go, oh, crap, here comes John Cena. And John Cena's going to go, thanks, France, and bow out. So I think that's basically what you're going to get. But that would be for the crowd that's in.
Right. I was going to say, it's kind of cool, though, because how many of those people can say, unless they've traveled over to London or unless they traveled over to the United States at some point in their lives, how many of those people can say that they've seen John Cena? I mean, I'm sure in house shows back in the day, but think of all of the new people and everything. I mean, it's been so long for them.
And those moments, look, wrestling is, it preys on nostalgia as well as anything that's ever existed. I always say about professional wrestling, everybody has a connection. Obviously, the people who are watching us right now have a deep connection. Then you have the people who are, you know, checking out the big events, parachuting in and out. And you have the people who haven't watched in a while, got reintroduced. And then you have the people who haven't watched in 20 years, but they could do a Macho Man Randy Savage impression for you. And if you brought that up, they'd get excited because it fires the synapses of their brain to when they were a kid. So like that's that connection that pro wrestling has, that nostalgia it has. So yeah, of course, if you've never seen John Cena live and you see John Cena live, doesn't matter what the guy does.
You just hear the theme song and you're like, oh my God, you're feeling hyped, because that's what nostalgia does to you. You just need to hear the song, you get excited and you roll with it. So it is going to be a cool experience for the fans. Thank you so much to John Black for that super chat. All right, so let's keep it going. I want to get into the Bloodline situation because this closed out the show. And I really love the way they did this, because even I thought they were going to close out with Cody and AJ. And I was cool with that because I liked the way that played out. But it ended up closing out with Tama Tonga, with Solo Sikoa out there fighting with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, and they're backstage and they're using weapons. And this was all due to everything that played out on the RKO show. And we had sort of a long exchange between Paul Heyman and Randy and KO, but this basically led to them getting attacked. And then afterwards, you know, we get a nice little brawl there. So I like that the message here was, it's unhinged between these two teams. And I know everybody's expecting Jacob Fatu. I'm so really fingers crossed that happens. Again, we need some surprises on the show. That alongside the Uncle Howdy stuff, alongside the John Cena stuff, all of that is going to be stuff that really sort of adds, you know, it's going to be what adds to the show.
Yeah, I think in addition to the crowd and the time slot, this isn't like the Australia show. It started at 5 a.m.
Oh, God.
This is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which sometimes is really cool, right? Like, because, you know, I like the night shows, especially on Saturdays as well. Everybody likes that. But when it's a little bit of a curveball, especially if you have your calendar marked off and you don't have to worry about anything, it's nice to digest it in the middle of the day. But yeah, to your point, well, look, Kevin Owens has to be pissed off. Look, they've been planting the seeds to that with the attacks and the blood and the car crash. I think the Fatu thing could be a moment, whether it's a surprise or not, because we're expecting it. That's the kind of thing you could leave the entire show with, him doing those, because there's going to be a lot of people who have never seen him before who are going to be like, look at this huge guy do this acrobatic stuff that is insane. This new bloodline is on tilt. And then I have a little bit of appreciation as well, Denise, for the late career comedian that Randy Orton has become.
Because oh, yeah. He's got a lot serious. Of comedy, too. Yeah. I like when he just chills in the back.
RK-Bro into whatever he's doing right now. You know, he's like, I beg to differ about there not going to be an RKO out of, you know, the RKO
is like out of nowhere. Yeah, I like that he threw it in himself. He's like, well, you know, my RKO is more out of nowhere. It's like dad comedy, but it works. It works for Randy Orton. There's just certain guys that are just funny. To me, like on this show in particular, because we know Kevin Owens is funny, but Kevin Owens is a guy that's a little bit more relatable to the everyday guy. But AJ Styles and Randy Orton have like that comedy that if you're not, you might miss it if you're not listening, but if you're listening and you're paying attention, it's right there for you to see.
Well, deadpan delivery too, right? Like,
yes. So
it's kind of understated in a sense, but if you're paying attention, it's very acerbic and it can really land.
I was almost hoping, by the way, earlier when we were talking about Cody and AJ, because Cody busted out his French and I'm like, you know who I would really like to hear speak French? AJ Styles.
If you could choose one wrestler on the roster that you would have try to give a monologue in French, who would your pick be?
Oh, let me think about this. There's so many people. I know AJ's at the forefront of my mind just because he says everything with an accent, so it's pretty funny.
R-Truth has to be up there.
R-Truth, yeah, that's good. I wonder if it would be funny because he would like make it his own way, his own R-Truth way, but I don't know what the hell that would look like. That would be great, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it plays into everything he's been doing, which is sort of the slapstick comedy yeah. character in general.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right, we got a super chat here from Stephen Marchulli who says the finish to Cody versus AJ will be interesting because will it lead to match two? I don't know. I almost don't want to see, like, I don't want to see Cody have the same opponent over and over because remember when they had Seth Rollins feuding with Finn Balor? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of good wrestling between them, but after a while, it felt like that was the only person we had ever seen him wrestle against because we had seen it so many times. And I don't feel like that's the right way to kick off Cody's reign by seeing him wrestle the same person over and over and over again.
Well, again, it feels like a filler match to me. I'm sure it will be an excellent match, but the stakes don't feel high. The outcome does not feel in doubt. So yeah, that's not the kind of thing you want to repeat. Now, oftentimes this sort of thing is necessary. I mean, we're coming off of WrestleMania Endgame. You know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been criticized for not capturing the magic since Endgame. And it's hard to do that when you build to something that epic and that massive. How do you then follow it up? How do you then have an encore? So you do have to give them a little bit of a, let's take a deep breath. You know, the dust settles before you reconstruct to the next major, mega, massive thing. And that's really why I'm pumped about the crowd. Because otherwise, I think this is the kind of show that could fall really flat, and I don't think it's possible for it to fall flat with the energy that they're going to have in that building.
And like you mentioned, like who the hell? How do you follow The Rock and Roman Reigns? Come on. That's a really tough one right there.
Roman Reigns is such a strong character and brand and presence that he's a character when he's not on screen. I mean, we saw that before. For a while, people would complain he's not there, but I always think, you know, it felt bigger when he was there. And he always felt present because he was always being alluded to. And then the big reveal from Paul Heyman tonight, he hasn't spoken to the tribal chief. That's a huge, like, that was the most like, whoa, okay.
That's right. When he mentioned that, and I wrote that down in my notes and I forgot to mention it, but when he mentioned that, his face, freaking Nick Aldis's face, everybody's face was like, wait a minute, what? So Paul Heyman not only mentions that he hasn't spoken to him since WrestleMania, but he's the one who took him out of the draft. And I'm like, oh, Paulie, we need to talk now because you did us dirty. You did the fans dirty. But he basically said he didn't want to put him out there with everything that's been going on with the bloodline.
And also, if you remember, they got to the point where they asked him who the real tribal chief was, and he didn't get to answer it. He said,
no,
you know, there's only one. And then and he didn't get to answer it. So that was done with purpose as well. But it just shows you what Roman Reigns really is and how big a deal Roman Reigns really is, because the specter of Roman Reigns, the mystery of what his motives could be, what his next move could be, is enough for that to be probably the biggest plot point on the entire show, with him nowhere near the arena.
What do you think Roman Reigns is doing right now? Like, what do you think Roman Reigns, because I know he has a bunch of kids, right?
He was filming that movie.
Oh, that's right. He's still doing the movie. That's going to be a while.
I mean, I don't know how big his role is or everything like that.
Yeah, who knows?
Who's in that movie? It was like Keanu Reeves and Seth Rogen. So there was a real cast too. It wasn't a throw.
I need to see some like backstage interactions with him and all these guys. Imagine the comedy.
Yeah, he's got good comedic timing.
Right? Yeah, he does actually.
Yeah, all those guys do. That's you know, the first thing that probably got them over in the first place is the biting, you know, like, oh, that pop that you can get from cutting a promo like that.
So there you go. I don't know why the whole time, like, I kept forgetting he was doing that movie, and I kept imagining him in my mind in some like fancy, like, I like to imagine Roman Reigns as the character that I see on TV. So I imagine him in some island, just like relaxing, having everybody come to his knees. Very silly, but I enjoy having that vision of Roman Reigns. And now that just came out really bad. It came out really bad. I mean, what I mean.
You know what you were getting at, Denise. I won't go further into the imagery or any of it.
Everyone's visualizing it right now. There's viewers that are going, thank you, Denise. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It's like the Happy Gilmore scene, the happy place. That's where Roman Reigns is. But here's the thing. He lost, right? So he needs that little spin on his character. However it comes back, I think it will be as a good guy or a face in some way, shape, form, or fashion sooner rather than later. But that's the wrinkle, is how does he deal with losing to Cody, that reign ending, and everything like that. Because the imagery that you presented was, to me, of the tribal chief. But
exactly. But now that's not it anymore.
Tribal chief and defeat, yeah.
Oh, man. We got Mike Parker here who says Cody versus AJ is one off to give the crowd a banger. Cody versus AJ is one to give this crowd a banger match without needing a huge story behind it. Like, that's the thing. I know a lot of people were saying like, oh, this is like not really feeling like anything major. But to me, I was just excited to see the match. I'll be real with you. To me, it's the match. Like, it's the in-ring work. That's what I want to see. I want to see what they're going to cook up. We're going to see AJ Styles freaking bump like crazy for Cody Rhodes with anything Cody Rhodes does to him. This is going to be fun.
Well, it has a high floor. That's the purpose of it. You know, it has a high floor. You know, it's just, there's no way those two are going to get together, have extended time, and not put on a good match, like Mike Parker says there. It's almost like when you're looking for, you travel a lot, right? You're looking at, and you're like looking up hotels, and you check out the different customer reviews, and you try to cross match them, and you're like, 4.2. All right, that's good. There's no way with 8,800 reviews that a 4.2 is going to be bad. And that's what AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes feels like to me. You know, it might not be, you know, the most majestic thing that's ever happened, or the thing that's going to blow your mind, but it's going to get you a good night's sleep.
I was going to say, you know what it made me think of? If we had, and I don't think this is... I mean, obviously we have like cage match, we have like Profight DB and all of those things where you can find matches. But can you imagine like if we had a thing, for example, like YouTube mixed with cage match, like if you could type in like, oh, I'm in the mood for a 4-star match with at around 10-15 minutes, like, you know, like filter it sort of like you would when you're looking for a flight, you're looking for the fastest route, you're looking for the pricing, you're looking for the star level or whatever, right? Get imagine if tables. We could do that. Yeah, I'm in the mood for a match that had a freaking table. Exactly. I don't know, it would be kind of fun. And we're like, huh, like, let me see what I'm in the mood for, and then see what comes out.
Okay, match app. There's got to be that's not a bad, actually that's pretty good. If you had, I think you would need access to the IP though, like, so that right. You could automatically pull it up on the, but they could sort it that way on like Peacock,
right? Then, like, the Peacock had that or something, or if you did it on a website and then you can find the match. Okay, I don't know, it's too much, but you know what I'm saying. Just like a database where you end up watching a random match that you didn't even think about watching. Oh man, now I'm just thinking too much. All right, Mike Parker, thank you so much for that super chat. And let's keep it going. Let's go ahead and hop into some of the other items that occurred here on this show. And I want to get into the King and Queen of the Ring, because that is basically going to start the qualifying match. Sorry, the tournament's going to start on Raw on Monday, and then we'll be here talking about it on SmackDown as well, you and I, Robin, about where we're off with that tournament. But what we know so far is that LA Knight is in it, Carmelo Hayes is in it, and I think Santos says he's in it too.
Yeah, I think
he alluded to it, right?
Yeah, he certainly, if he's not officially in, he's more or less officially in.
Right.
LA Knight announced.
Yes.
Luther announced. You know, and this is a King of the Ring brings me back. You know, talking about the nostalgia, there's been some really cool King of the Ring moments. I mean, we've talked about Tama Tonga. I don't think Haku officially won the King of the Ring, but he wound up wearing the garb and went by King Haku for a while. And there have been some strange King of the Ring choices that you might forget. King Mabel for a minute there. But there's also been those big coronation moments. I mean, the Stone Cold speech.
The most famous.
That's probably the most famous sentence uttered in the history of professional wrestling, right? Happened at King of the Ring to poor old Jake the Snake Roberts there. So when you go back, there are some memories attached to that event. And you know, we see these tournaments on TV all the time, right? That's what this is, a tournament that's given a little prestige.
Exactly that. So it hits a lot harder. And this year, I'm interested because there's a lot of guys that are sort of around the same level and just need that like breakout moment, or just need the opportunity to have a different light spotlighted on them. And so I can see this like looking really good, specifically for the guys, like for the girls too, right? But this one here, I know that one of the, right now, the top picks for the guys is Gunther. I know one of the top picks for the women is Tiffany Stratton, but then she's also one of the top picks for Money in the Bank. So are we just gonna have her win everything? Probably, I don't know. But it's like, I'm trying to think of, for example, so like Carmelo Hayes is in it. Like, what would it look like if somebody like a Carmelo Hayes won that? Like, that would be insane. Now, would I want him to win over Gunther? Probably not, but it would still be something pretty cool. Like, I just feel like the King of the Ring right now can go any direction that they want it to go. They can either keep it to keep someone like a Gunther continuing to grow, or you can have it so that someone like a Santos or a Carmelo Hayes, even LA Knights that don't really have anything right now, can kind of use that to have a steady storyline on the show, or at least something to do on the show.
Yeah, no, I think it's a conundrum in a sense, because you're absolutely 100% correct. I mean, there's not a recent precedent for it because it's been a minute since they've done it, but you could certainly use it to try to elevate somebody and make that next star, or you could do it to further coronate your heavy, and you have Gunther go through, win the King of the Ring, and then go, hey, Cody Rhodes, you know, I'm King Gunther now, the ring general. Coming off the longest reigning Intercontinental Championship reign, now I got this, you know, I'm coming for your title now. Because I eventually think that's one of the people that needs to be in Cody's path for it to feel, you know, believable and feel like he's still overcoming obstacles and all that. That on the entire roster, he might be my number one pick, absent Rock and Roman, of course, and those guys. But there is something to be said for, hey, do we want to give this person a push because Gunther doesn't need it?
I was going to say, at some point, you are not going to be able to dodge Cody and Gunther. Like, at some point, that needs to go down. And so, there you go. I mean, that's going to be happening next week, so it's going to be pretty exciting. But there is one more thing that I need to talk about in regards to this, and back to Carmelo Hayes, because he had an interaction with Bobby Lashley. Now, last week, I was on the fence as to whether or not he was a babyface or a heel. I was leaning more towards babyface, but then I was sort of feeling like that moment, the way that he acted with Cody Rhodes, left me wondering what the hell is going on with Carmelo Hayes. And so coming off of all of that today, what we saw, his interaction with Bobby, I'm sensing this cocky, arrogant guy. I think we might actually see Carmelo Hayes as a heel.
You know, it's interesting because there's always that fine line and that babyface can own that. Because you could look at the Cody moment and say, all right, he's getting called up from NXT. He really believes in himself. You know, he's at the big stage. He's not shying away from going for the big prize. But at the same time, you know, I know that they're not directly related at this moment, but as big as the Whoop That Trick thing has been and everything like that and their past history, I could also see him flipping like this in an instant. And he gets that heat immediately, I think, because people were already like rooting for him as the NXT guy. And they're like, oh, no, you scoundrel. You've done this.
You scoundrel. I love that. I don't know why every time I think of scoundrel, I think of pirates, right? Because they use that word, right? Like they made it famous. I don't know. Am I thinking Pirates of the Caribbean?
I mean, I think of Dominic Mysterio.
I think of Pirates of the Caribbean. I feel like I heard that on there, right? Like I'm not crazy.
I haven't seen one of the Pirates of the Caribbean in a minute, but it does sound like something Captain Jack Sparrow would say.
Right? Like, I'm not crazy. I hope someone here in the chat is like a big-time hardcore Pirates of the Caribbean fan or pirate knowledge, because I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere on there, but who the hell knows where I heard that. But anyway, so that's where we're at with Carmelo Hayes. We got a couple more topics to get into, but before we get into all of that, I'm trying to think of a good segue. Damn it. I don't have one. Let me think. What's something good to promote Blue Chew from this show?
Blue Chew. Oh, man. If you want to have your afternoon delight with backlash.
Blue Chew code Denise. There it is. Are you jobby now in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, yeah, harder, yeah, and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue Chew subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
A prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise. Is this your first time seeing the Blue Chew ad, Robin?
That was amazing.
I should have warned you. I saw your reaction and I'm like, have I played this on the SmackDown show yet? Because no, I switched it up.
Yeah, that was very climatic when it happened.
I love seeing everyone's first time watching the Blue Chew ad.
I gotta tell you, I don't know if I could have pulled off that advertisement as well.
Like, my whole thing with Blue Chew was, okay, I don't want to present it in the way that, you know, we've all seen, for example, like the beer commercials, right? And it's just like some woman coming down and she's like being all like erotic and sexy and promoting the product. Like, that's not how I wanted to promote Blue Chew, because that's not who I am. Like, I would just be too weird. So I was like, I need to be like just me. So that's why it is what it is.
Well, no. I think you did excellent at that. And I'll also say, honestly, the... for that particular product, right, it could be very easy to go like, are you this? You know, like, and then you make that person feel like, yeah,
make
I am
them feel
this.
Bad. Yeah, make them feel bad.
Instead of like, maybe I'm this, but I can be this.
You see, I'm trying to hype you guys up, man. Trying to hype up all the guys out there. But of course,
you want them all to stand up, that's for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. We're acknowledging you and acknowledging Blue Chew. And the link is in the description box below. You guys know what to do. All right, we got Steven Marchuli here who says book Carmelo as a heel and give him a heater like Odyssey Jones. We haven't seen Odyssey Jones in a while. I don't even know what roster he's on anymore. I forgot.
I think if we're going to have to Google it, that's not the likely outcome of Carmelo Hayes' first.
No idea. We got John Black here who says scoundrel equals Han Solo tomorrow is Star Wars Day.
May the fourth be with you, John.
Nice. John, thank you so much. We got Tom Townsend here who says, Denise tuned in late. First thing I saw was you aggressively blowing up balloons. Thought you'd lost it at first. Get that ad revenue, girl. I'm telling you, I love seeing everyone's first time reactions to the Blue Chew ad read, but I need to update the video. I'll work on it. I just gotta sit down and think about some ideas. But Tom, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that.
No, don't rush. You don't want a premature advertisement.
Robin, I might have to have you write this next one.
I have a background in, you know, I hosted an open mic on Bleecker Street. I've done stand up and all that.
There you go. We need to come up with something. All right, let's get into the rest of this show. By the way, everyone's saying that Odyssey Jones is on Raw, so I guess that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody here who remembered that.
I don't think he's likely going, you know, no offense to Odyssey Jones, but from the challenging Cody Rhodes thing to that, there's I think grander plans for Carmelo Hayes putting him on from NXT.
Possibly, yes, I feel that too, just with the presentation so far. All right, we got some other couple of matches that we got on the show. Let's just run through them really quickly. We got LA Knight versus Angel. We hadn't heard obviously he got the win here, but we hadn't heard LA Knight cut a promo in a while, and really the only thing was he's King of the Ring. Santos Escobar interrupts him and basically alludes to also being in the King of the Ring. That's where we were a little bit confused.
But LA Knight in the King of the Ring is perfect. And then again, that's another play to the crowd thing. Because if you're at a wrestling show right now, what is something you want to do? You know, LA Knight, yeah. I mean, that's like almost a rite of passage for present day WWE.
We also had the New Catch Republic throw down with AOP. Is it just me, or does Karrion Kross look different to you each and every single week? It's the facial hair. Today he had sideburns. When did he get sideburns?
Yeah, he's getting grungier.
He is getting grungier. Yeah. I was looking at him and I'm like, he looks really disheveled. Like, that's not the before he was, you know, obviously very polished with the bald head. Yeah. And then he had like a decent little facial hair. Now it's all over the place. I like it.
He came out in a flannel today.
Did he? I thought he was shirtless.
That's the grunge.
Oh, I'm like, wasn't he shirtless?
That's the 90s Seattle grunge, you know.
He's going to come out looking like Mick Foley pretty soon.
Yeah, Mick's been through some stuff.
And I was going to say, I don't know if Karrion Kross has it in him. But anyways, we get this pretty fun matchup. And for the most part, the AOP gets their revenge because over on NXT, the New Catch Republic essentially costed them their match against Nathan Frazier and Axiom for the NXT Tag Team titles. And then during this match, we end up seeing Scarlett and Karrion Kross essentially costs like a little bit of a distraction, thus allowing AOP to get the victory.
Yeah, and the crowd was hot for this too. I think they were chanting New Catch Republic.
Right? Like, they were into everything. The crowd would have, in an American city, the crowd would have been dead for this match.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, that's Exhibit A for why the crowd's going to elevate the whole show. Because no offense to any of the participants involved, nobody saw that and was like, SmackDown, here we come, right? Like, that just wasn't what you were getting yourself hyped up or amped up for, and I think this has worked a little better for Karrion Kross than some of his other stuff, but nonetheless, it feels very, you know, passing time kind of deal. But because of the way the crowd was into it, it gives it a little bit more of a oomph, and I feel like that's going to be the way for this entire card. It's going to get, you know, it's like almost a half a letter grade to a full letter grade higher than you would normally expect on a curve because of the crowd.
You know, I bet you now that you said that, there's going to be that one person and watching that's going to say, you know what, Robin, I tuned in to SmackDown specifically for this match. Let me that one person. All right, we got Jared Jackson here, DWL member for 8 months, says keep current or a new song for Babyface Roman. Oh, I'm sorry, I love that song too much. No, they can't let it go.
I would cry.
I was gonna say.
I would legitimately cry if Roman Reigns had a new theme song. That is the most epic theme. Like, that's the joint you play in the car.
It's true. There are so few. Like, I'm a lyrics person. I need lyrics. I need words. And for me to love a song this much with no lyrics, with no words, says a lot. Like, this is the song that I like to, like, you know, headbang to when it comes. Even though it's not like a headbanging song, but there's like that moment where you can, you know, really like hit it.
It drops in, right? Because it builds and then it hits you over the head. Definitely a gym kind of, and I'm with you. I'm like as a hip hop head, I love lyrics and dissecting meanings and bobbing my head to the beat along with the flow, like all that sort of stuff. And I generally don't rock with instrumentals, at least for a long period of time. Like they lose my attention span quickly if something doesn't happen. But that has a hypnotic quality. Like I could listen to that song on a loop on the island that you imagine Roman Reigns is residing.
Exactly. I feel like I can walk, like I, because the thing is, like, to me, the song presents him as godlike, right? With the music, that's how he's presented. So when you listen to it, you almost kind of feel that way. So yeah, I like it. It's a good song. I don't think they should change it, although they might be. Can it work with him as a babyface? Can it work? Right.
It gets a reaction every time.
It'll work.
There's no chance it doesn't work.
Make it work.
Yeah, it's superhero theme music.
We got Ferthausen here who says, be first PLE to watch live. Oh, their first PLE to watch live since the Royal Rumble due to their work schedule. Man, I don't blame you, man. Some of these PLEs be starting at some random times and it's random for everybody. And, you know, depending on what shifts people work, sometimes you miss some shows. So getting to watch this one, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. Of course, it'll be early in the day. But what I do like about it, though, is that for me, I think the show starts at 10. It'll be done somewhere midday. By midday, by the time I'm done doing podcasts and clips and all of that stuff, it'll be like I'll have the rest of the day to myself. Like, that's great.
I'm jealous of the West Coast time zone at oftentimes for that very specific reason. Whether you want to get your beauty rest or you want to go see a movie or take a leisurely walk in the park, whatever the case may be, just that extra pocket of time after everything else ends. Because on the East Coast, most events end, it's like, oh, I got to go to bed. You know, like,
yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that, Robin. The times that I've gone to the East Coast when I'm there, because a lot of AEW events are always in the East Coast. Oh my God, I can't. Like, there's times where I come out of the shows and I'm like, dude, it's 2:00. Like, this is nuts. I don't like it. And when I was in London, I didn't watch any wrestling while I was there on TV. Like, I only went to the live shows, but on TV, missed everything that week because I just could, like, they were happening at the random hours of the day. I would have to watch it the next day in the morning. I'm like, screw it. I'll read the highlights. I'll see what happened there because this is just, this is nuts. Like, I can't imagine. We're very, very, like, first of all, we're very spoiled in the U.S., but even more so, pretty spoiled here in the West Coast. Because for me, like, the latest is, for example, Raw. Okay, Raw ends at 8:00 for me, 8:05, whatever. I do a post show. I'm done by like 9:10. I can still go take a shower, do my thing. And I'm in bed by like 11. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's nice.
You know, the long, you know, Blue Chew things can happen and you can still
make time for Blue Chew. Alrighty. We got the Street Profits versus A-Town Down Under. A-Town Down Under get the win. How'd you feel about this? Anything in particular that stood out to you in this?
No. I mean, I'm a fan of Grayson Waller. I like the attitude and pizzazz he brings, and I think it was just more to keep getting at that heat. You know, they win in a little bit of a shady manner, and that was about it. I didn't have a grand takeaway other than they play their role well as the reviled tag team champs.
My only thoughts on this were, I can't wait to see the Street Profits revamped because this is just feeling very stale. They're still feeling the effects of the feud with the Final Testament, and I want to see the Street Profits go back to being a team that we were excited to see. And right now, they're not really there. I feel like they need to get some of that allure back to who the Street Profits were, because I feel like they lost some of it in this last feud and this whole trial and error thing that they did with Bobby Lashley. I think they're still together. They're still together, right?
Yeah. I think Dawkins has gotten better over time, in fact, but you don't feel the effects of that because, like you said, they feel lesser. And Montez Ford has fallen a lot, in the sense of, there was a time where it was like, oh, this dude could be the next champion. That's how I felt when they were a tag team. You know, like, oh, am I looking at a Shawn Michaels or a Bret the Hitman Hart here in Montez Ford? And it doesn't feel like that right now. Not to say he can't get it back. He has the talent to get it back. But I do think he once had it and has since lost it. And that's important. How do they get it back? Because he is somebody for potential to have that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I did feel like that at some point with Montez. But there you guys go. That was SmackDown here tonight. And of course, tomorrow is Backlash. So this is going to be a very quick turnaround show, because by tomorrow we'll know everything that's going down. But before we head out, if you can't get enough of Robin and I, tomorrow, Robin and I are going to be tag teaming on the Saturday Busted Open show, and we're going to be talking about so much. We're going to switch it up. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. So make sure that you guys tune in tomorrow for that. And then I will be doing a Backlash post show over on Fightful, and it'll be myself, Righteous Reg, and Phil Lindsay. We're going to be doing a Grapsado show over on Fightful, and then keep an eye out here for some additional content. And if you haven't already, oh, there is one more thing that I need to promote for everybody before I forget. And that is that, here it is. On May 8th, I am doing a live drawing on the AEW Dynamite post show with myself and Reg. And basically what we're doing is, if you head on over to Apple Podcasts and you find my podcast, Instincts Culture by Denise Salcedo, and you leave a review, you will be automatically entered to get to watch AEW Double or Nothing for free. That is right, for free. All you have to do is leave a review. You do have to go on the Apple Podcasts app, because that's the only place where you can leave a review. So go on the Apple Podcasts app, find Instincts Culture by Denise Salcedo, leave a nice review, put your Instagram or your Twitter handle so I know how to find you. And we're going to be doing a live raffle on May 8th, again, to watch Double or Nothing for free. And we only we have like 20 something entries right now. So this is so much better than having to compete on Twitter with hundreds and hundreds of entries. When you do it over on here, you have a better chance of actually winning. So head on over there, leave a review, all that good stuff. Robin, where can the people check you out? Check out your YouTube channel and all of that.
Well, you leave it in the link. Thank you. Appreciate all that. I've been growing and growing and growing. Thank you to everybody who's checked that out. Obviously, I post a lot of wrestling shorts and related content over there as well. Busted Open tomorrow. I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio if you're into other sports on Sunday and Monday as well. That's the short-term plug. But yeah, just check it out and hope you vibe with it.
Perfect, guys. Check out all of Robin's work. The links are in the description box for absolutely everything. And of course, we will be back again here next Friday to keep talking SmackDown. We'll be talking King and Queen of the Ring, all of that good stuff. We'll catch you guys later. Bye, everyone.
Deep.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.